time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along. TGIF, first Texans practice Paul and I just got back from. We're going to talk about that, talk about what we heard from Nick Caserio. He had some interesting tidbits. But first, we get to the Houston Astros, who, Paul, the side chick, back in town. Once again, didn't go well for the side chick.
Man.
Astros win 4-2.
I almost feel bad for her. It's like she just keeps calling me and calling me. And as she's calling me, my wife is coming over to me, and she's touching his chest, and it was a kiss. How did it end up like this?
He's been singing all morning, guys.
Yeah, it's just Mr. Brightside. I've only had one cup of coffee, too. But yeah, it's like Mr. Brightside. Like, they're bummed out because wifey's taking care of me right now.
She is. Julio Rodriguez was back, and the Astros still beat the Mariners. It was a good night. I will say this. Look, a win is a win for the Astros. I think they needed a win after getting swept by Oakland. It's nice to see Alex Bregman back. Not just like kind of back, but like can change a game back.
That was an awesome night for Bregman. First off, he has the early home run. Second off, he has the go-ahead double in the eighth inning. Third off, he, in a pretty dangerous situation, slides into home plate while Munoz, who almost decapitated Yuli Gurriel and is definitely no longer someone that I want to associate myself with as a half Astros, half Mariners fan. That moment was scary. Bregman got up, he's limping, but then he was back out on the field right afterwards. I felt so relieved. And yeah, this was yet another game where you're starting to see the old Alex Bregman, and it's just a matter of when you see moments like that with Munoz, you're just praying, oh, for the love of God, can he please get through 1 year?
So I was at the game, and there was a collective silence followed by because the way he landed on it was not good.
No, it bent
it looked
like
way
to the
worse
side
than it was.
Because Munoz's leg went right into the side of his knee, and it made a weird bend. And I mean, you always get nervous when you see something like that. I always find it funny when you're on Twitter and everyone just says the same exact thing about an injury. Oh, that looks bad.
Doesn't look good.
It does not
look good.
Oh, no. Oh.
Luckily, he seemed to be okay.
Yeah.
The Astros went on to win. Nice outing by Urquidy. Nice finish by Ryan Pressly. Good win for the Astros. Again, just nice to get a win after randomly being swept by the Athletics.
For all we know, that's the last time we see Urquidy.
And he did get a standing O, by the way. It was very sweet.
If that's his last time, that was a hell of a way to go out. I thought striking out Julio Rodriguez with runners on base during a moment that felt like the game, well, I don't know if it was the fifth inning or something, but that at bat felt really big just given that Rodriguez was finally back in the lineup and he took care of business in that spot. What could he get you at the trade deadline? I wonder, but we did actually hear from Jose Urquidy. Here he is after the game being asked if he's heard about the trade rumors. Here is the Astros pitcher.
I will have the same focus, and I would like to stay here for many years. But I know this is a business. If that happens, I have to play and work hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think he knows what's up. I think he's probably spoken to his agent. Sounds like he's being realistic about it. But like you said, it was nice for him to get a standing ovation, nice for him to have a possible last game at an Astros. The Astros keep things very close to the chest, so we really don't know what they're going to do, and we haven't heard a whole lot of rumors specifically. Yeah, we've heard, oh, maybe they ship off this player. Maybe they bring in a left-handed reliever. We've heard all of that. But we don't know. And I think it'll be interesting to see what James Click does. But like you said, a guy that's been solid, he's been able to go, you know, long in games and have a few quality starts, which has helped the bullpen. So good job by Jose Urquidy.
Yep. And we'll see what happens next. I feel like of all the guys that you could potentially trade, and I know on the Twitch chat at twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. I mean, Urquidy has more wins than any pitcher in the World Series in Astros history. That is an interesting stat if that is true. I can't check that off the top of my head. But if you compare him to the stuff of all the other guys, I mean, who has better stuff? I think that Javier conceptually has a lot of potential. I think that with Luis Garcia, when he's on it, I mean, that's a 9 to 10 strikeout night. So if you got to pick between those three, you're not doing Framber, then it's probably going to be Urquidy. And hopefully Urquidy is enough to get you somebody like Josh Bell at first base away from the Washington Nationals.
We talked a little bit about Bregman and how successful he was last night. This is what the call sounded like during Bregman's go-ahead double.
Alec.
That ball hit pretty well to left field. Back goes Winker, still going back. That ball's off the fence. Here comes Yuli. He's going to score. 3-2 Astros. Breggy with an RBI double.
It was a great moment. And again, just to hear the crowd on their feet for Alex Bregman and for him to really, offensively carry that game
was
really exciting.
Some people get invited to Astros games and other people don't, you know?
Well,
I'm Vanessa. I'm big part of the Astros pre and post. And you know what? They just ask me to come sometimes. And I got my brand spanking new Tequila Sunrise jersey on. And
that was a hit on Twitter.
Yeah, it looked good.
Oh, thank you.
Was that a thirst trap, though?
No. It was me.
Was it a glow trap?
The team
that
I cover. Now,
can I say you looked good?
That was very nice, Paul. Thank
yes.
you. Seth Payne had a nice tweet showing you and Brooks Kabina. I thought you both looked nice this morning as well. It was not a thirst trap. If I wanted to post a thirst trap, there would be more body parts in it. You would be able to see my cleavage.
Ooh.
You'd be able to see my legs.
Okay.
But you could not see any of that. Now, do I naturally have some parts of myself that are larger? Again, naturally, that make the star on the Tequila Sunrise pop out a little bit.
Pop out. Oh, they pop out, that's for sure.
Yes, but it was not a thirst trap. It was just a nice selfie at the Astros game. But that was a big hit. I met a couple of vegetarians, folks that listened to our show.
I heard. That's awesome.
They were very, very nice. So it's always nice to meet some fans.
I still haven't been back. I have to go back eventually. I want to go for just an Astros game.
You haven't been to a game?
Not since I've been back.
No. What?
No, the last game I went to was game 6 of the 2017 ALCS.
Oh, you did go to Astros games in Seattle.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So the team of which you have a media pass for and could probably go, you don't go.
Yeah, but like I don't like to sit in the press box.
I didn't sit in the press box.
See, that's what I mean, though. That how are you pulling this off?
Because I am friends with people.
See, exactly. Next time, why not say, hey, can I get a plus one? And, I don't know, bring your co-host that you don't trust to maybe make him feel better about the fact that you don't trust him. Because he goes home every night and he stays up till 3:30 in the morning, maybe, you know, not falling asleep. Because he's like, why doesn't my co-host trust me?
Yeah, no, that makes
sense. I don't want to get fired again, Vanessa. God, it's been twice. In 2 years.
Shout out
to
the
person. I'm like James Harden, but at least James Harden's trying to get out of his job.
Yeah, shout out to whoever said, did you get fired on Twitter? And you said which time. That was a good comeback. All right, so if not the Mariners.
Serious question.
Who is actually the second biggest threat? Because we know the Yankees are the biggest threat in the American League. Who would be the second biggest threat if it's not the Mariners?
I put this question out on Twitter. Akalon says at Sports Vanessa, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass, at ESPN.
You, Sean.
97.5, and I loved some of the responses. Most people said the Tampa Bay Rays, the Toronto Blue Jays. I think there were far more Blue Jays answers than Rays. But my favorite answer, we're all on the same wavelength. I love it. I love the arrogance. I love the cockiness. Themselves.
The Astros are the biggest threat. Okay, so psychologically speaking, let's break that down, because do they sometimes get in their own way?
Against Oakland?
And make
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a terrible answer. I can talk myself, kind of like when you're on a date with somebody that you don't like, but eventually you come around to, well, maybe for a while, you can like talk yourself into that explanation. Ooh,
what's that process like? Because I'm assuming that you have to at the very least be attracted to that person to get to that
But you know
point.
That it's not long term. But you're like, you know, could this be fun to spend time with this person? Yes.
Spend time, yeah.
That's what that answer reminds me of. Like it sounds ridiculous, but then you think about it and you're like, no, they actually are kind of a threat to themselves when they make errors. When they don't, you know, there are certain managing decisions that certain people question. I could talk myself into that.
They looked like the veteran team last night. And, I mean, to go back to the Mariners, and, I mean, sorry, babe, but you guys kind of looked like frauds last night. And to point out a couple of specific moments, I know the broadcast was making a big deal about it. I think it's easier said than done, you know, being someone like Ty France, you hit that ball into that weird spot in left center field where the Crawford boxes are, and hits the top of the wall, and then you end up with the single. He was getting crushed. It was Todd Callis, it was Jeff Blum, it was the post game show too. They were all crushing him for that. But to their point, I mean, the Astros wouldn't do something like that probably if they hit a ball to that spot. You got to hustle to get to second base. Because he didn't hustle, double play gets turned, so the Mariners blew a rally that they could have had. Julio Rodriguez in a big spot with runners on and two outs. He struck out. You had Cal Raleigh when Yuli Gurriel, of all people, is stealing a base on you. Cal Raleigh, the Mariners catcher, drops the ball. And then afterwards, too, when you have the wild pitch by what's-his-face, who I will not say the name of because he threw high at Yuli Gurriel, when he threw it inside, I guess they got signals mixed up and Cal Raleigh didn't catch it. And then all of a sudden, you see Yuli steal home. Bregman get to home plate. Like, those were all mistakes that a young team that's not ready for it make. And the Astros don't typically make those mistakes in big games. Occasionally they will. Every team does. But, you know, I expect those to be very rare when it's them.
Yeah, there are some threats to the Astros for sure in the American League, the Yankees being one of them. But I still think the Astros are the best team in baseball, even after being swept by Oakland in games like last night, where they're able to come back and win games in creative ways, I think, is one of the reasons why. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan, it's probably the biggest story in football right now, the additive, the clause, the ridiculousness, and oh, the sensitivity of Kyler Murray. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Galant.
Paul's now posting thirst traps because I posted thirst traps.
No. I'm posting Texans practice thirst traps.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm media. I'm back at Texans camp.
Yeah.
Here's a picture. I actually uploaded a similar video.
Yeah.
And you don't need to because other reporters at the press conference are posting basically thirst traps of you and Brooks.
Very true.
I saw.
Like, shout out to
Top Gun 3.
Yeah, my old co-host.
Highway to the Brooke and Paul zone. You guys both looked good, though.
Thank you.
Glasses.
Thank you. Well, I didn't like the glasses I was wearing.
Actually, I like Brooks better than yours. But
yeah,
you looked nice.
Brooks has
he
impeccable
looked like a
fashion.
Movie star.
Yeah, he did.
On this, because I'm just wearing a golf polo and golf shorts, and yeah, that guy is like, I'm like, did you just come from like France to do this reporting, like the Riviera? I don't know.
Brooks looked like a guy that like sits in a cigar bar with a cigar in one hand, with his like arm propped up, and just like waits for women to come to him.
Yeah, no, y'all both were giving off like Blue Steel kind of like, Zoolander look. Very intense.
Excellent reference.
I felt cucked in that photo. I'm not going to lie. I felt Brooks looked way better than me. And then I saw his shoes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Paul did see a few people of note at Texans training camp, but that's a story for another day. A story for today. The additum, the clause, the controversial Kyler Murray, you cannot play Call of Duty. Instead, you must put in 4 hours of work a week, which is what Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and most quarterbacks actually in general have done by Monday morning. Apparently, that was too controversial, and Kyler got very defensive.
Yes, he did.
With the media in the desert. Here's Kyler Murray on that additum.
Today, I'm starting off, I'm talking today because, I feel... it's necessary, you know, with what's going on as far as regarding me and the things that are being said about me. It's almost, you know, to think that I can accomplish everything that I've accomplished in my career and not be a student of the game and not have that passion and not take this serious is almost disrespectful, and it's almost a joke, you know. It's to me, I'm flattered, you know, I'm honestly flattered that y'all think that at my size I can go out there and not prepare for the game and not, you know, not take it serious. It's disrespectful, I feel like, to my peers, to all the great athletes and great players that are in this league. This game's too hard.
Okay, so there's an update today that the Cardinals, I believe yesterday, removed the clause and they put out a thing saying we didn't know it would be such a distraction. Thoughts.
Okay, let's respond to Kyler Murray first. Kyler, we're just talking about something that was made public. Why did the Cardinals feel the need to put that in your contract? Did you even look over the contract, by the way? Were you unaware of it? And did all of a sudden, after reading it a second time, your agent maybe leaked it out and that's why we even know about it. And then peer pressure, because of the ugliness of it, forced the Cardinals to basically, you know, withdraw that clause at the absolute last second. I'm really trying to figure that side out of
it. He signed it.
Right.
He signed it.
And I mean, that's kind of on his agent too. I mean, you got to look at that to see that. And if you don't like it, then don't sign it and get it out.
His agent's worried about that 3-7% commission that he was going to get from the guaranteed money.
You know, you're probably right. And maybe they signed it and they're like, hey, I bet we can get this out, right, because we can get everyone mad. But I mean, look, there's lots of questions about you, Kyler Murray, and it is your fault. You can say, oh, it's offensive to me and my entire profession and the brotherhood. But I mean, you didn't try at the end of that game against the Rams. It was clear you were checked out. And the second half of last season, when DeAndre Hopkins is all of a sudden gone, you did not keep things afloat. Like, it fell apart pretty quickly. And you can blame Cliff Kingsbury for that, but it's also a lot of blame for you. And I don't know. Guy's an Aggie washout. He's going to Oklahoma. There's just a lot of entitlement coming out of him there.
Entitlement's like, the perfect word. He sounded whiny. He sounded like he makes excuses. And he sounds like one of my biggest pet peeves with people our age. And I think our generation's great in a lot of ways and progressive, but there is one thing that people our age do not understand, and that is that choices have consequences. Mm-hmm. So he made the choice to do an interview with the New York Times in December. In December, where he said, quote, I think I was blessed with the cognitive skills to just go out there and just see it before it happens. I'm not one of those guys that's going to sit there and kill myself watching film. I don't sit there for 24 hours and break down this team and that team and watch every game, because in my head, I see so much. He made the choice to say that. He made the choice to sign on with video game and get sponsorships and do all of that, which if you listen to the greats like Peyton Manning, like Tom Brady, they didn't do endorsements like that until they were super successful. It wasn't even on their radar until they had won playoff games. He made the choice to sign on and have a public video game profile where people can see that he's playing. And he makes the choice to do all of these things, and then he thinks he is exempt from the consequences of his choice. You are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of your choice. So make better choices. Study more. Get in the film room more. Make your veterans trust you more so that you don't have to put these additives in and then awkwardly have them removed. Hot take. I think that removing it made it look worse.
I do too. I think it makes the Cardinals look like a bunch of dumbs, but I already felt that way given that they extended Murray before they needed to. They extended Steve Keim for no reason. They extended Cliff Kingsbury for no reason. You know, I'm not saying he can't do the things that he is doing off the field, that he can't have a video game streaming show or whatever the hell he's doing. I'm just saying that when you do not play up to the expectations that are attached to a guy who was a number one overall pick and won a Heisman, when that happens, if you don't live up to that, you are going to be called out for all of the things that you do on the side. You're going to be called out for that anyway as a quarterback, but I think it's even more so there. It is kind of interesting that there's like two Oklahoma quarterbacks that have passed in like playing video games too. Because Baker Mayfield, this was the thing for him. I don't know if Baker Mayfield still plays video games, to be perfectly honest, but Mayfield was, by many accounts, this awesome Halo player.
And he was outed for having played during a very important part of the Browns season. Right? It was.
I'm not sure.
There
but
was
that
like
sounds
a kid that had screenshotted the amount
plausible
of hours they played or something.
Goodness gracious.
RG3, we share the same agent. Shout out to Robert Griffin III.
Flex. Some people can't afford an agent.
You don't pay
but
for
I'm
an
Vanessa,
agent.
But I'm Vanessa, and I have
they
a big-time agent needing salary.
Yeah, right. So Robert Griffin had a hilarious tweet. Still bothered by Kyler Murray's situation, he has already had to deal with short jokes his entire life. Some say he looks like a toddler out there running around, and now the Cardinals give him a homework clause in his contract. What in the reading rainbow is going on in Arizona? It started out where it sounded like he was defending Kyler, and then it got into it. Still bothered by Kyler. He's already had to deal with short jokes his entire life.
Oh,
the
wow.
The toddler thing. What in the
short
reading
king
rainbow?
Right?
Short king.
To go, he looks like a toddler. Like, that is just RG3 saying that. Like, no, right. Like, this is such a weird defense that he's going. People say he's tiny and small. Look at him. He's right. Little baby legs. Yeah, I'm upset by that.
It is not a good look for Kyler. I don't think it's a great look for Eric Burkhart. It's not surprising. And I think that when you take inventory of all the contracts, big contracts that have been given to quarterbacks, rarely do we hear about anything like this. In fact, veteran reporters have said this is the first time they've heard of anything like this. You made note of an interesting clause in Zion's contract.
Oh, yeah.
Zion showed up a little thick.
Zion Williamson has always been heavy, and he's barely played any games in the last 3 years, the first 3 years of his career. So these clauses, which are smart clauses, should be put in more contracts. Like the Cardinals taking it out, I don't see how this benefits you. It just shows them, it shows Kyler Murray that he is your daddy, but this is the Zion Williamson clause. According to league sources, Williamson's contract stipulates that he will have weigh-ins periodically throughout the entirety of his new deal. The sum of his weight and body fat percentage must be below 295. I wonder how that works. If it is not, the amount of guaranteed money in Williamson's contract can be reduced.
So, I think it's a good thing. If you're an athlete, you should be fit.
I agree.
And if you...
I mean, you should just be fit.
You should... Especially if you cover
You should try.
You should really try.
I mean, that's been my take for the longest time, and I will stand by it. Okay?
Yeah, you should try to be fit, faux show. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we continue the NFL conversation with some of the biggest stories in addition to all the Kyler Murray news. Plus, hear from Nick Caserio at Texans training camp. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
It's football time in Houston.
And
41 days.
Ready to play.
41 days till the NFL regular season kicks off. This is exciting. We were just out at camp this morning, heard from Nick Caserio, and I will play that bite for you in just a minute. But we want to start out with our jersey consultant, Paul Gallant,
who is
your number 41. This is a good one.
I'm so thrilled about this. So I don't know if he wore this with the Atlanta Falcons, but Eugene Robinson was number 41 with the Seattle Seahawks. Eugene Robinson, multiple-time All-Pro safety, famously found himself in a jail cell for soliciting prostitution the night before Super Bowl 33 between the Broncos and Falcons. What makes this story even funnier, before the Falcons were absolutely ass-kicked by the Broncos in that game, Robinson won the Bart Starr Award earlier that night, that Saturday night before the Super Bowl, which is named for, of course, the Packers quarterback, mm-hmm. but it's given annually to the NFL player who best exemplifies outstanding character and leadership in the home, on the field, and in the community. And legitimately, he got that award and went out and got himself a hooker.
I mean, that's a good reward for getting that reward, right? Like, now and then, have you ever done that? Because I've played that game with myself, not where I get a hooker, but where I'm like, I've been good for so long that I deserve to do something bad.
Yeah, like a cupcake or a steak?
Yes, I've eaten so healthy that I'm going to go get a medium rare steak with a Diet Coke, a vat of mashed potatoes. But yeah, the hooker thing, I can honestly say I've never felt the need to do.
Why'd you need to say honestly?
I mean, because some people aren't honest about those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. You don't trust me. I forgot.
Maybe. I believe Sean has never.
I would never do something
like that. Even entertain
the
idea.
I'm a Southern gentleman.
Texans training camp, the media, we were allowed to go for the first time. The fans were allowed to be out there today. It was a lot of fun. I do want to give a massive shout out to the Texans PR staff. There's more shade than there's ever been, not in the proverbial way, in the actual, like, shade from the heat. There's there's better resources than there's been. It seems like it's going to be a really good situation this year, which has not always been the case.
I want to shout out some of the folks in Texans PR who did a fantastic job of making sure that the lighting was absolutely perfect for Nick Caserio's press conference. They were holding up clipboards to block the sun. I was just like, this is awesome.
It was like three of their PR
staff.
Real
teamwork.
I was there. Pauly G was there. I did ask Nick Caserio just what he tells the rookies as they start their first training camp. Here was his answer.
This isn't college where the GA is going to go wake him up in the dorm, make sure he gets over, sit with him for breakfast, go take his test, and then get him on a practice field. Like, we don't do that. Like, it's your responsibility. I would say Lovey's philosophy is you're grown-ass men, and we're going to treat you like men, and we're going to hold you accountable. And if you do something wrong, you're going to be held accountable. It's not about rules. It's about standards and upholding a standard of performance and excellence. So the quicker the player understands that, then it's going to be to his advantage. So
that was a great quote. It was one of the more, I think, honest answers that he gave, where he talked about his process of not babying them. Mm-hmm. And some people do take the opposite approach. Some people try to hold rookies' hands. That's not Nick Caserio, and it's certainly not Lovie Smith's way that they go about things.
As far as other observations, Vanessa, today while we were out there, speaking of one of those young guys, those young rookies, Derek Stingley Jr. is the guy that I want to see the most. And he was out there in certain spots. I thought it was interesting to see him back deep along with other players catching some punts. But when it came to actual 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s, he wasn't out there. So he's healthy enough to be out there and not working off to the side. But Lovie Smith was asked about it after practice, and he said that they're not putting Stingley through every practice in training camp because he's recovering from Lisfranc's surgery.
Great. I would rather have them do that.
I would too, but there is a part of me that feels like, all right, you can get some valuable reps this time of year, but also that doesn't mean that he's not going to be in any of these practices at all.
Good point.
Interesting to see. So it's weird being back here, Vanessa, and seeing other people wearing number 24 and 25, because I'm just like, that's Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson. I'm not saying that you need to retire those numbers, but I just like, that's what I think of right away.
Pour one
like,
out for J.Joe. One of my all-time favorites.
I miss J.Joe.
DK Metcalf has been extended. We wondered when this deal was going to happen. It is a 3-year, $72 million extension with $58.2 million guaranteed.
This is how you should do an extension, I think. If you give a wide receiver money, I think that you got to be careful with how long you give him that kind of money. You also have to wonder with DK Metcalf, hey, are you going to be able to develop a little bit further as a wide receiver? I like Metcalf, his athleticism, his speed, and I also think he's one of the funnier wide receivers in the NFL. He was my favorite guy to cover.
He's definitely
in
a character. He eats like, what, two things of candy a day and then coffee and then works out?
Right. And he also has a very funny beef with Pro Football Talk commenter, PFT commenter from Barstool, and pardon my take. He's a guy that needs to be better at catching the ball in traffic, but this is what the Titans should have given to AJ Brown.
Yep.
I really, this is not something that's going to kill you. It's a 2-year contract, essentially. Like, basically, when you see a deal like that, ask yourself how much of the money, the guaranteed money, is going to be given to this guy. And you can basically just take a look and make your own like little internal fraction with it. And I mean, if it's $58 million guaranteed, then probably like the first 2 years are guaranteed. And if it doesn't work out, they can move on. And then he'll be asking for more money again if they don't want to give him that contract. And another team like the Dolphins did with Tyreek Hill will make the trade for him.
And then he'll all of a sudden stan his new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, method to his madness. He meets with the Green Bay media every now and then, obviously, as the Packers QB. He always has some interesting answers. You can never really tell whether he's serious or not serious. Here's what he said about his motivation.
What's the driving force now?
Love, probably. Just tapping into the love of this game. Love of my teammates. That's what gets me up in the morning, coming in here and loving what I do and having that gratitude for this opportunity. Because at some point, the ride's going to be over.
I mean, but it does sound like something. Love from his witch girlfriend. What is it? Blue? The blue?
Blue dubba dee dubba die. Dubba
blue
dee dubba die.
Blue of Earth. Thank you,
blue,
Sean.
Blue, if I was green, I would die. Okay. I think it's worth noting that as he said love, he had a grin. It was a very subtle one.
Like a poop-eating grin?
Yes. He is just messing with everybody after. Everyone went so crazy with him about like his questions about the vaccine. Everyone is just looking for stuff from him to get mad about, and I think he just likes to troll. And I think for a second, with that long pause, love, yeah, he was definitely trolling a little bit, but then he was serious as the answer continued.
Yeah, and who do we work with, Vanessa, that would be kind of trolly and really trying to get one over on people kind of in a
who
jokey,
would that be?
Passive-aggressive way?
Passive-aggressive. Who would that be? Could
not
it be
me.
Somebody that I kind of said yesterday?
Here's what all the media is saying and kind of takes it personally and every time
a little bit
taking it out
you
on
think
him,
so?
A little bit.
Oh, a little bit? Yeah, who's this little
I don't
bitch?
Know who it could be, but Whoa. We talked about this yesterday. And I'm very, very excited for this next segment.
Clearly can't
and
be
you
handsome.
Guys do not want to miss it because we're going to run through the roster of 97.5 on-air talent and compare them to NFL quarterbacks. I can't wait to see what you guys have for me. Daniel Snyder did testify for 11 hours yesterday. I don't know about y'all. I didn't really see much of what he said. Mm-hmm. So I think they might have kept that close to the vest. Either that or it was shadowed by the Kyler Murray drama. But I didn't see too much. Either way, shout out to Dan Snyder for getting off of his yacht and taking the subpoena that was given to him by the government.
I thought that we would get something. I thought someone would leak something that took place here. Look, I mean, he's going to get off free, scot-free. If he actually came to testify, he must have known what was coming. And as always, the stuff is performative when it comes to the trials that billionaires are put on, right? Like, we've never seen somebody...
No, they're all in bed with politicians. They're
exactly.
all going to get off. They
exactly.
all go to the same brothels and do all the same. Not saying Daniel Snyder particularly, but if
I mean, who would be surprised, though, right? Like, Daniel Snyder's the one, I think, person in the NFL where any just horrible story could be out there and you wouldn't even give him the benefit of the doubt for a second. You wouldn't even want to. In fact, you'd probably be rooting for it to be true because you can't stand him. It's crazy that as many people that are not even fans of the Washington Commanders hate Snyder the way that they do. But I feel like he is just the most disgusting owner in sports. He makes people call him Mr. Snyder. What have you ever done?
Not
other
only
than be
people
rich?
In his building, but the story was one of his daughter's friend's dad. So it was a guy that dropped his daughter off to play with Daniel Snyder's daughter and was referred to as Mr. Snyder. I know one thing. I know some billionaires and I know some millionaires, and they ain't no chance I'm calling them Mr. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, 97.5.
I want to know how tall Daniel Snyder is.
Talent as quarterback.
5'7" energy.
But first, Paul is going to tell you about Passive Aggressive Network. What? Passive Investor, I meant. Sorry.
The Passive Investor Network, the exact opposite of Daniel Snyder. No, these people are going to take your hand. Hold my hand. They're going to walk you through the entire process of investing in real estate because that's what these guys do. They got people who have been experienced in Houston real estate for 20-plus years, like Ronnie, who's in charge of the construction team. What they do is they look around the greater Houston area for parts of town that they feel like they can turn pretty, and they invest heavily in them, and they turn these things around. And you can get in on the ground floor with them and turn these into rental properties or things that maybe you're going to flip, something like that. That's what the Passive Investor Network can do for you, a personalized plan for you. You just got to go on their bus tour, passiveinvestor.net. The promo code is ESPN. Again, PassiveInvestor.net, promo code ESPN. You'll get to meet everybody, ask questions, and see the before and after of what the Passive Investor Network can do for you. It's the Passive Investor Network, PassiveInvestor.net.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we don't have any actual NFL games to talk about yet, so I thought it would be fun to compare our colleagues, on-air colleagues, to quarterbacks in the NFL. Each quarterback is a different story, as Brock Osweiler might say.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about Brock's new adventures later.
He's back in media. Jesus.
He is back
this
in media.
This is such a bad day.
Not
bad
like
day
just
for
with
America.
Media, with ESPN. So your favorite guy is back. I can't wait to see what he sounds like in
just
the booth.
Just not going to watch it. You don't.
Is he going to say each interception is a different story on air? Because that'd be incredible.
Just like you're bringing back war memories. I feel like I'm Tom Hanks, like, at the end of Saving Private Ryan, staring ahead like shooting a pistol at a tank, remembering the times where Osweiler said things like this.
Do you feel there's been a consistent theme with the interceptions that you've thrown this year?
No, I don't. I think every interception really has a different story.
Just kill me with a
it's
shovel.
Incredible.
I wanted to melt into the floor and die. I was like, why do I have to deal with these awful quarterbacks? And this guy, who is a very nice fellow, but good God, every time he tried to mansplain an interception to me, I wanted to throw myself off a ledge.
All right, so.
I hated football that year. They made the playoffs into the second
Brock
round.
Brock Osweiler, we'll talk about him
Sorry.
Later. All right, so I'm going to give my list first, and then we'll go Paul Gallant, and then Sean Mapes will give his.
Well, I think we should go by host, right? That way we can compare, like, who we have each
Yeah,
host
I think
as.
So, too.
Okay, so let's start with the morning show, then.
Okay.
So let's start with Lance. Here's what I have for Lance. Lance Zierlein, OG in the media. Self-deprecating, okay, doesn't take himself too seriously, likes classic music, likes old rock music, and has some fun cultural references, just an overall goofy but really, really good at his job guy. Lance Zierlein, ladies and gentlemen, is Josh Allen. If you remember the coin toss with the Bengals game, Josh Allen tweeted pain in reference to what he had just experienced with the coin toss. Josh Allen also listens to Frank Sinatra before games, so he told Maria Taylor from NBC Sports, has kind of an old soul, is very good at his job, but again, does not take himself so seriously and is able to have fun with the media. Lance Zierlein, you are Josh Allen. Congratulations. What do you have for Lance?
I hate doing this. I feel like I have to, though, because this makes it seem like I might worship this man as my Lord and my Savior, and I wanted to make it clear.
Wow.
I do not. But, I mean, is Lance not the most famous person that's a sports talk show host in Houston, Texas, right? I mean, he works for the NFL Network. He's got the draft blogs. And
he has a lot of different, wears a lot of different hats, so they say.
Exactly. Like, and I feel like you got to say he's Tom Brady. You got to.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Can we get some NFL bed music under this? Let's shake it up a little bit. Make it more NFL-y. I'm surprised that you would cast anybody in the role of Tom Brady.
I mean, I feel like if we're going to look at quarterbacks and who's the top in the game, right? I mean, we got to take it from that perspective.
So I say Josh Allen, you say Tom Brady.
Yes.
Strong picks for Lance Zierlein so far. Sean?
I didn't think of Brady, but that's a good one. This one is the only one that I kind of cheated on, and I went with a former quarterback. But when I lay it out, it'll probably make sense. Like you said, good sense of humor, self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And during draft season,
yeah,
he's
Brady.
Here all freaking day, every day of the week.
Brady.
When I would work weekends, I would bump into him like, whoa, what are you doing here, dude?
Yeah.
So elite study habits, I got him as Peyton Manning.
I love that. Now, if we're going former quarterback, that opens up the discussion completely
this
in a different manner.
That's the only one
manner.
I did it.
That's,
okay.
a, that's an insult. You're calling him Peyton Manning. He's Brady.
Come whoa.
See, I'm kissing ass
all right.
this answer.
John Granato, also an OG and a legend. Here's what I have for John Granato. He's always great with sponsors specifically. This guy gets golf tournaments basically made in his name. These salespeople love him. He gets great ratings. However, John balances that really well with also not being too brand heavy. You've heard him talk about he doesn't care if he's verified on Twitter. He doesn't care if people, if they say anything mean about him. So he balances being great with sponsors without being too corporate-y. And that is Patrick Mahomes. John Granato is also a GOAT of media in general. And if you see Patrick Mahomes, he does all these commercials, but yet when he's with the media, he's not too worried about his brand.
I also have John as Patrick Mahomes, and that is Patrick Mahomes is the ultimate gunslinger as a quarterback, and John Granato is the ultimate gunslinger as the radio host.
Hell yeah, Sean. Who do you have for John Granato?
For John Granato, I have Aaron Rodgers, because John Granato is a bleep starter. He is a troll. There are times where you hear him on the air speaking dry, and you know he is just talking out of his ass to just get a couple of people riled up. It's 100% John, also an OG. So yeah, you got Rodgers and Brady in the morning.
All right, let's move on to our show. Whoa. Who do I have for Paul Gallant? I'm going to zag. I know that yesterday I said he had similar qualities to Aaron Rodgers, but he's not actually...
I wouldn't give myself that.
...the quarterback that's the most... Paul's a nice guy.
Oh, God. No,
good
I'm
start.
Not.
Good start. That's a compliment.
I would say that he's underrated in the radio game.
Oh.
He's a little bit whiny. He is Derek
little?
Carr. Paul Gallant is Derek Carr.
I hate
underrated.
You.
But somehow meaner.
Nice guy.
You know what?
But a little bit whiny. Paul, and he has dark hair. He talks really quickly and really loudly. Paul Gallant, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
Unbelievable.
You are Derek Carr.
Some people have problem with this tone. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
What do you have for me?
Unbelievable. I mean, now I'm just going to take it personally. Now, you know what? No, I'm just going to say.
I said underrated. Good looking, dark hair, but a little whiny.
Entirely because of that answer.
Wow.
Vanessa is Carson Wentz.
No.
Because I know that'll make you mad.
I don't have anything in common with him. You got to have good reasons. Who did you have before I said that?
Well, no, I don't want to tell you.
No, tell me.
No, I don't want to.
Do I not stand Derek Carr? Do I not say Derek Carr is underrated, good looking? He's just, you know, some of the things he says.
You know what I was? You know what I was gonna say? I was gonna say you're like Justin Herbert. You just broke in. Oh. Everyone thinks you look good. Everyone thinks that it's going places. You're on TV, but no. No, Paul's Derek Carr. He's whiny and takes things personally. He's not doing that right now, by the way.
He was a little whiny.
When I made the list, I was like, who's going to take things like most personally? And then I was like, oh, wait, the person I work with.
No. Yeah, the person I have that's Derek Carr is 100% more Derek Carr than me.
So, Sean.
So, I just took the Aaron Rodgers free space because that was kind of the inspiration for this segment.
Okay,
Paul,
and then
Aaron Rodgers. For you, kind of an old soul, mature beyond your years, and in football, who I would consider kind of mature beyond his years, Joe Burrow.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Joe, thank you.
Smooch, smooch, smooch.
That was, you know what?
I trust yeah, Sean.
Know where the bread's butter. Got a couple tier ones
Sean,
right there.
I trust you.
I don't trust you.
Let's go to the show on after us, the Killer Bees. With Joel Blank, I did go with Aaron Rodgers, not only because Joel's a massive Packers fan, but because Joel does have the ability to go there. If you need Joel on your side, if you need Joel to stand up for you the way that Aaron would stand up for Davante Adams during his contract negotiations, and if you need somebody that can be a little spicy, there's your Joel Blank. Who do you have for Joel?
For Joel, I have Derek Carr, because Joel is looking for things to get mad at.
But that's you,
Sean,
bro.
What, am I wrong? I mean, Joel is always looking for something to motivate himself. And this is what I love about Joel, because I do think that Joel and I are very similarly wired. So, I mean, Vanessa's Derek Carr comparison, it's actually spot on.
And you kind of look like him, by the way. Light eyes, dark hair.
I look better than him.
Okay. Well, I didn't say that.
I had pretty similarly looks for slights, even though really none kind of exist, or very few exist.
No, he's very good. He's a very good talk show host.
Very intense.
Yeah.
And does ad reads for Apollo Men's Health, which sounds kind of like the TB12 method, so I gave him Tom Brady.
You gave Joel Blank Tom Brady?
Yeah, very intense.
Wow.
Will MFU.
Okay. Yes, he will.
And yeah, Tom Brady.
For Jeremy Branham, sturdy, trustworthy, doesn't cause controversy, plays by the rules, but still is very good at his job. Jeremy Branham is Davis Mills. He's not going to cause you any trouble. He's not going to rock the boat. You know he's reliable and is a very, very good guy. Jeremy Branham, Mills Mania.
All right, this is going to sound weird, but I want to steal Jeremy Branham's larynx so I can have his voice.
Ah, he does have a great voice.
I think because his voice is by far the best at this station, the guy's doing play-by-play, and because it's also the most unique on the station, much like that of Patrick Mahomes, who is super talented, but also has a very unique voice, seeing as he sounds like, I don't know.
Kermit the Frog?
Yeah, if the Cookie Monster became a chain smoker. If, you know, Ed Orgeron is, I don't know, maybe smoking a little reefer. It's a very distinct voice that Jeremy has, much like that of Patrick Mahomes.
So I had him as someone who kind of catches more heat than he deserves with some of his takes. And he had a Twitter back and forth like literally last night that was hours long. And so, but I think he gets more hate than he deserves. And so I put a couple down as like quarterbacks that I feel like catch more heat than I deserve. And I just want to try Lamar Jackson maybe.
Wow.
Feels like he catches a lot of heat.
He does.
But ultimately, he is very good at his job.
He is. Very true. All right, let's move to the wheelhouse. When you think of a typical radio guy, typical radio voice, typical football guy, who would name his dog Bronco? He's good at his job. He's just very predictable and fits the mold, but works very hard. Jake Asman, you are Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, damn, bro.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
May as well say he's like a two-face.
No. No, the he's
problem,
just
the problem here is Paul. You take every quarterback as a slight,
right? It's not
like
at
in
all.
The worst way.
I know
the faults of all of them.
See, because I'm being Derek Carr right now. Like right. I'm role playing.
Exactly.
But you're
a
positive guy.
I'm yes. I'm leaning into it. Okay. I think Jake is really good on digital media, and I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for it. And I feel like there's another guy that's in the NFL that we look at, and I think we like a lot of things about him, but maybe we're like, oh, but he's not the X, he's not the Y, he's not right. the Z, but he just gets results. So I'm gonna go with Joe Burrow for Jake. Jake has an awesome digital media presence, and I am jealous of it as someone who constantly is angry when anyone
you
does
are very
well
angry.
On social media, and it's not me.
Much like Derek Carr, who do you have?
So I had him as someone who's very talented, but maybe has some holes in his knowledge outside of his area of expertise. In the case of Jared Goff, it's outside of football.
Oh.
In the case of Jake, it's outside of radio. Really, just taking. Playing off of when the Rams are on Hard Knocks and Jared Goff didn't know which side the sun came up, east or west, that's something that Jake would probably ask.
Brad Kellner, the occasional funny comment, but he doesn't try too hard to be a personality. He's fun. He says some words weird. He's a very nice guy. But he's you never think like, oh, Brad's trying too hard. Brad's very natural, very authentic, and will surprise you every now with a funny comment or two. Kirk Cousins is actually funny on social media. He makes the occasional dad joke, but Kirk is not trying to be the biggest brand in football. He just shows up as himself. Brad Kellner, congratulations. You're Kirk Cousins.
You know, I almost did Baker Mayfield because I'd already gotten rid of Rodgers because he sits back and, yeah, it's very, like, deadpan delivery when it comes to the jokes that he inserts into the show. But I also am on the same page as you. I do find Cousins to be... in an endearing way, fun.
He is fun. He makes dad jokes. He's cool.
This is the one that I felt the best about. BK is the kind of the people's champ, so I chose the people's quarterback. I give him Gardner Minshew.
There you go.
Quirky,
maybe
funny.
Not as fashionable.
Yes.
And last but not least, I believe, we have Cody Stutes.
Okay.
Cody is quiet, chill, even-keeled, works hard.
Everyone works hard.
Yeah. But... Yeah.
oh damn.
But he is very
shot
even
fired.
He's very even keeled. He works, but he's not like overly hyper, overly aggressive. He doesn't take things personally. Cody Stutes, you are Matthew Stafford. Congrats, you just won a Super Bowl.
Okay.
I had him as Stafford as well.
Really?
Yeah. Same kind of logic.
Okay, so this is gonna sound bad because I constantly criticize this quarterback. However, I feel like in recent years it's unfair to criticize this quarterback because of the transformation he made. When Cody first got into radio as someone who was working with him at 610, he was put in a really rough spot because one of his teammates essentially quit mid-show. I'm talking about Dante Hall, who, honestly, I lost all respect for him when he did that. I thought that was ridiculous. He was on a show that was supposed to be he, John Lopez, and Dante Hall, and Hall just left in the middle of a show one day, and that was it. And then all of a sudden, like, okay, the show was built to be one way. Now you got to scramble and figure it out on the fly. So sort of like with Tannehill in Miami, where Tannehill, like, was in a just awful situation. But Tannehill comes to Tennessee, and all of a sudden, whoa, look at what Tannehill can do. Same kind of deal that you're getting, I think, with Cody Stutes here at ESPN 97.5.
Tannehill, Cody Stutes. Are we missing anybody?
Nope.
Daily lineup?
I think we got it. We got everyone, 7-7.
Okay, 7-7. There you go. So I'm not trying to brag, but I do think I had the best list. You guys can feel free to tweet us, Twitch us, call us, beep us, and let us know who you think had the best quarterback list. And yes, I hope our coworkers are listening because I think I said some very nice things. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, quick Astros recap. That'll be next.
ESPN 97.5.